who make different styles of music, you know. And this music is something that is felt from each individual person who makes it. It's a representation of what they feel at that particular moment. I think we need to open our minds some more, because the only way that we can be successful in our music is by coming together as a community. Why not focus on making us do it the way we need to do it now, and leave the past in the past and look towards the future? The sound of music changes and changes all the time. I feel that there's so many people who have influenced the music over the years. So many icons that we look up to, and I'm not saying stop looking up to them, but you need to take your own future into your hands and take what they've given you and expand it into the whole entire world, you know? Taking what was given and setting it out into the world with your own imagination, with your own creativity, and make it your work and make it your idea and spread it out throughout the world. And that's community. You need to open up your heart and your mind a little more and accept what they've given you. It's all a message in this community we know as house music. Take it from me, I've been doing it for many, many, many years. I mean, I've gone through the disco, I've gone through so many areas of music, from the original tracks of the Windy City to the beautiful sultry sounds of the East Coast. And now we're down to the basics once again. We're down to the raw element of the music.
Welcome to the Sound System. Tonight we're doing a 3-hour specialty program based on Studio Nova, Audio Soul Project, Mozzie coming out of Chicago. We caught up with him at the Winter Music Conference, had a chance to talk to him about what's going on with him, up and coming projects, his album Community on NRK, a little bit of history on him, his labels Gourmet, Simple Soul, the state of where dance music is here in America. We also got to talk a lot about his home, where he's from, Chicago, Windy City, the birthplace of house music, where it's at, all the releases he's done. He's done about 130 in the last 5 years. So let's get into it. This is the first time we do a 3-hour special on one artist. We'll be probably doing this once a month right here on The Move, XM80. Enjoy.
My thoughts on Chicago. I think Chicago has kind of a weird mystical hold on me. I've thought a lot about moving just because so much of what I do, so many of the labels I work with, so many of the friends I have, so many of the colleagues I work with are not in Chicago. For one reason or another, I've just made a very tight community of people that I've met. But still, I can't move despite the bad weather, despite whatever other things. I can't move away from Chicago. You know, I can't do it, and it's, I think, because of one way or another is connected with that city. Whether it has to do with DJing, whether it has to do with musicians, whether it has to do with promoters, whether it has to do with anything, it all was from there. I lived in the Chicago suburbs as a kid, grew up, went to college, dropped out of college and said, I'm going to go to Chicago to make it. Ever since that, there was just no looking back. There was no, like, it's not going to happen. I've met so many people who are incredible DJs who are worldwide, and so many people who are incredible DJs who will be spinning in their bedrooms for the rest of their lives. And that's, I think, a uniquely Chicago thing. Because anywhere else where you live in the world, if you're talented and you know it, you have this other ambitious, like, I got to make it happen thing. Whereas in Chicago, there's like so many talented people that do it just to do it. That's what they grew up with. You know, when they were 13, 12 years old, they listened to the radio, they listened to BMX, and everybody was a DJ. Everybody bought that same record and all that, and it was just like they all grew up with it. And that to me is endearing. Whether right now the Chicago scene is thriving or it's not, it's still there. You can sense that all those people are still doing what they're doing, and people still understand you. So it's like if you're at Aria in Montreal and there's 2,000 people on the dance floor dancing and they're all going crazy, and afterwards they want your autograph and blah blah blah, that's an awesome experience. But then when you're at home and there's, you know, 100 people at a club and they're all screaming and going crazy, that's a completely different thing. And that's just because you know everybody there knows every record you played and they've heard it all before. That night they felt it just like you did.
So that last track you heard was off his album Community on NRK. It was called Memory Take You Higher, and we started off the show with track one, which is the title track. It's the intro to the album, and I gotta say, it's pretty inspirational. Ron Carroll doing the vocals. Let's get into some more music. Let's play two more songs, a one-hour DJ set, and then we'll go back into his tracks. This right here, it's Native Method.
Interior experiences, especially the religious experience. The only reason I'm working with schizophrenics now is the religious experience is so significant. And schizophrenia, there's only so much work you can do with animals. I worked with monkeys for 2 years, but monkeys can't tell you what's going on inside their consciousness. You need human beings for that, and you're not allowed to ablate human beings, and you can't stick electrodes in their skull, so I have to use some kind of trance-inducing technique.
I've been DJing for 12 years. I've been making music since 92, 93, right around there. It was really kind of messing around for me, and just until I decided to take it full time. And the reason I did that is I realized that I wasn't going to class, I wasn't doing anything. All I was doing was spinning. And until I had, like, basically what happened is this dude had equipment, he had a sequencer and a drum machine, and he wanted me to DJ over his sets for him, and that's all it was. Next thing I knew, how to use his equipment better than he did, and then I was like borrowing it, quote unquote, for months at a time. And I realized it was a lot more serious, and my passion up to that point had been school. So I moved to Chicago, and back to Chicago, I should say. I was in Champaign. The breaks for me was to start working with a lot of Chicago labels like IHR and like UC Music, just making a lot of connections in the city and listening to a lot of the DJs in the city, listening to, you know, Derek Carter and Spencer Kinsey and a lot of the other guys, Diz, Mark Farina, and like kind of being what I would call the end bit of the golden age of kind of like all those guys who were living in Chicago at that time, very active, and all those parties were still going on. And like the rave parties in Chicago were really at kind of their peak at that time. So it was a great time to listen to a ton of music with a lot of people with you who were like open-minded just like you were. So it was a very inspirational time.
We'll be right back.
that's out of my GP8000 keyboard. Can I lie? For sequencing, I use Cubase on my computer, on my PC. I don't use a Mac. I don't know, tons of software. Obviously, I use my hardware too. The thing with that is, I worked for years with my MPC, and that's all I did. You know, everybody from Chicago uses their MPC, but I got in with the computer. But I still got my shit, my rack, my compressors, my EQs, all that stuff, keyboards. I still gotta have a mix board. I can't not mix it with a board. Just a lot of different things, analog and digital. You know? I've made tracks on my laptop while I'm like out on the road, and it's cool. You can do anything you want, audio, purely audio on your computer now. So I don't think it's necessarily a limitation. I think just creatively speaking, it's not about your toys, it's the inspiration that your toys give you. Whether I can make that same kick drum or that same keyboard with a computer or not is not the question. It's what makes me do it. And if I need a real keyboard to do that, a real good friend of mine, David Durier, this guy's one of my favorite producers, he has no gear. He does everything on his PC with a mouse and his computer keyboard and his machine. It's just, it's all about your creative method. And my creative method is, I need all those knobs and I need all those keyboard sounds and all the little things on my compressor and all the distortion and all the other things that I've grown up with, because that's how what got me here, you know? Like, I see kids, DJ Spectro, this guy that I'm putting out on Simple Soul, and he's all digital, he's all computer, he's all pro. And, you know, I started purely analog, old school, ghetto, whatever you want to call it. So I got to keep bringing that with me no matter how much. I mean, I'm always about new things, but you can't just abandon anything. It's all like luggage you bring with you, for better or for worse.
So there you have it. It's not about your toys. It's the inspiration that your toys give you. Words of Wisdom by Mozzie, Audio Soul Project. Let's play one more song off his album, then we'll do an hour DJ set. This song here is Free Falling on the Move, XM80.
All right.
Good releases and shitty releases all put together. It's over 130 records of remixed or original production. Did a lot of music in mid-90s, early to mid-90s. I had this mentality that my people in Chicago had to put it out. Like, I never thought of sending a demo out somewhere else, but it's just like Chicago's a very hard city to make a living in. So it's hard to give a new kid a, you know, break. And so what I ended up having to do is sell furniture, and I used to be a comic book collector, comic books, whatever the hell was laying around the house, to put out these records myself. Got to a point we put out 4 records, and Gramophone could only sell so many copies. And we weren't selling units. I didn't have any more comic books left. Sold the TV, sold my decks, sold everything else, so I couldn't do the label anymore. I was gonna say, fuck it. A friend of mine at the time, who was an A&R for IHR, who was putting out like Chicago Booty House and all that, said, why don't you do some tracks for me, man? We can pay you. As a joke, did 4 tracks in one day. Took it to him. I think the next day we went to Bad Boy Bill's house. We got $1,000 check. I'm like, oh. Alright, so we can make some money doing this. Alright, did some more records like that. I'm not saying it's crap, it's just not what I was into at the time, you know, politically correct. Met Andy Adams at UC Music, and his deal with me was you can do my music on the A side, your music on the B side. And that ended up turning into After Hours, because the music on the B side was selling better than the music on the A side. So we did After Hours, and they gave me the chance to do Gourmet, and finally decided to send out music to other people. And it ended up being like, I ended up having to do 180 degrees into like some musical stuff I wasn't really into to get to exactly where I wanted to be.
Oh, Thank you.